How many of you guys were able to be here or watch online Pastor Alex's message about unity? It was a powerful message, right? So tonight I want to continue a little bit about on that, because there's a few things that we, in order to come into unity as the body of Christ, have to always keep in mind. So tonight I want to talk to you about forgiveness. Can you say forgiveness? Yes. I want to talk about forgiveness. You know, in these days that we are living, you can say that the enemy is after us as a family, as the body of Christ. And there are some missions that he has. Number one is to divide, to bring deception to the body of Christ, to bring destruction to the body of Christ, and to bring chaos and death. So if we as Christians are not united in one accord, as the Bible says, symphoneo, the enemy is going to find a way to attack and to divide. Just look around what is happening in the universal church these days. Are we being the church that the Bible and God is asking us to be? But everything has to start with us. If we have failed to forgive, to live according to what the Bible and God tell us to be, listen to me, the world is watching. There will always will be watching. And sometimes we are the only Jesus that they will see. And if we don't act according to what God has called us to be, that's the chance and opportunity that is going to go by, and we will fail to reach somebody for Jesus. Amen. So as I said, tonight I want to talk about forgiveness. And what is forgiveness? Yeah, you may know, but I just want to give you a little definition of what the word forgiveness is. It's an intentional decision to let go of resentment and anger. And intentional, that means that had to come from me, had to have the intention to let something go. You can expect that somebody be the first one to initiate contact when it comes to forgiveness. How to start with us? I want 1 John 1:9 say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to clean us from all unrighteousness. You know, sometimes when we talk about forgiveness and what God did for us, there's no much problem understanding that. Amen? We know that we have been forgiven. If we come to God and we repent, he will forgive us. So 90% of the time, we are good with that. You know, we have been forgiven. Sometimes we have a hard time after everything that we have done in our life understanding that, you know, how God can forgive me. And there are situations like that. I remember when I was in the medical field. Yeah, I was in the medical field once upon a time. I have this patient that he was terrible. There's no better word for that. You know, he didn't want the nurses to take care of him. He didn't want nobody to give him a shot when he needed it. He was like final level liver cancer. So one time I was in the room and the nurses say, he don't want to get the injection. Can you give it to him? So I start talking to him and, you know, playing with him. So finally I was able to give him the injection. I said, you do it better than the nurses. And he said, no, they're the nurses. They're going to take care of you. You know, so we developed a relationship. I was trying to bring the gospel to him. But one of the things that he says is, I can't let somebody take control of my life, somebody that has failed him so much. And there is people that don't understand the value of salvation. He gave it all. He didn't ask you anything in return. Just to come to him, repent, turn 180, and accept it as the Lord's your life. But in his heart, he have denied him so much that he didn't want to open his heart to him. Not because at that point he didn't hate him, but he felt that he wasn't worthy. So eventually one night I was there and we weren't that busy. And that night, you know, I have a long conversation with him. Long story short, he gave his life to the Lord. You know, and it was so a moment of happiness in his face. You could see all over his face. Next day, I was so excited to go and see him. And when I went to the room, I didn't saw him, so I thought that he was going for some test. So I went to the nurses and asked for him. But he went with the Lord. So it was that opportunity. There was that chance. If I have given up because somebody didn't value enough the forgiveness that God for his life, he would have been saved. So my brothers and sisters, forgiveness is so important, not only for us, but also for that person that have the need to be forgiven. But I want to tell you something that may shock you. I have some numbers for you. 1 in every 4 practicing Christians deal with lack of forgiveness to at least one person around their life. And you have, this is based in Barna. Barna is like a organization, Christian organization that for the last 40 years do the numbers in Christianity in different topics. So when I was looking at the numbers, it was very interesting to see how many practicing Christians have issues with forgiving. When they offer unconditional, when the question was about offering unconditional forgiveness to someone else, 76% of the Christians say, yes, I offer forgiveness. But in the receiving side, 55% believe that they didn't receive the forgiveness that they needed to. And 22% struggle to receive forgiveness or to accept that I have to forgive somebody. Listen, if this don't remind you what the parable of the Bible say about the servant that was forgiven so much, and as soon as he walked that door, he saw somebody that owed him a little bit, and he wanted to just take everything from that person. You know, sometimes we have the level of ingratitude that sometimes our short memory, it kind of like get disconnected, and we forget what God did for us. And it's difficult to do for others. So I want to look at somebody next to you sitting tonight and tell them forgiving start with me. The Bible is truth and is clear about the fundament of the Christian faith. You have to forgive so you can be forgiven. The Bible, the royal prayer, one of the things of the royal prayer said, you know, forgive us as we, there is a condition, as we forgive others. Amen? So, what Ephesians 4:32 say? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. So this is one side. I'm going to show you the other side now of the coin. Let me read this one again so you keep this one in your mind. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. That means like any time that you pray, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. So if you have something against somebody, forgive. Now, if you are on the other side, you are the one that's being hurt, the Bible tells us, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and then remember that your brother has something against you, and this is very important, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. It's something interesting here. The Bible don't say, if somebody has something against you, let them come to you and ask for forgiveness. He said that if somebody has something against you, go to them. Go to them. Don't make a public announcement on social media. Hey, you owe me an apology. The Bible says, go to your brother or to your sister. Talk to them. That's what the Bible teaches us to do. If we are disciples of Jesus, if we have followers of Jesus, we do what the Bible says to do. We don't have the right to choose what chapters of the Bible we're going to use or what lines of the Bible we're going to throw away. It's in 100% or out. There's no middle with God. As Pastor Mike say, we have to do something. There is something that has to be. You have to go to your brother. You have to go to your sister. If it's something in your heart, you go to them and you say, listen, I've been hurt by this situation. Or you have hurt me. Or I apologize about this. If somebody has something against you, the Bible says, you go to them before you come to the altar. Are you with me tonight? To walk in unity is necessary to forgive. In order to walk in unity, we have to forgive. So tonight, I have a story for you about the Bible. But I was so powerful when I was reading this. I was like a big smile on my face. And you know, my wife, by the way, we are turning 18th anniversary this week. 18 years. Hallelujah. Man, time goes so fast. But she was looking at me and I was smiling. She's why smiling? This is like a love story. It's like, you know, the love of Jesus in this tiny book. So I want to take you with me to the book of Philemon. And if you don't know what that book is, I'm going to give you help. It's between Genesis and Revelation, okay? We're going to go to the book of Philemon. Honestly, it's between Hebrews and Titus. Titus, Hebrew. If you are there, can you say amen? So this is Paul in one of his letters to Philemon. And it's a very important letter, as you can see. This not only by himself, but also Timothy is part of that. It's like a witness, somebody to be accountable about what is about to happen. So Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, and our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. I wonder you see this. The context starts with a salutation to these people. It's going to be in the first place to Philemon, but also the church is being called in this letter to be accountable for what is about to take place in this letter. Amen? Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I may thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may come effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. So I want you to see something. Philemon is this person that Paul is writing to, have a good heart, have a heart for the people. But there's something that you have to understand. Philemon was a rich person living in Colossae. And Paul is writing to him in regards to something that is about to be shown as we read, right? But we can see that this guy have a heart for the people. He's like a Pastor Brian, you know. He have like the heart for the people. And Paul is making sure that he knows that. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to commend you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such as one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. This is very kind of like a smart, sneaky Paul. He was very sneaky there, you know. I say, listen, I have the authority to come to you as an apostle of Jesus Christ. but I prefer to come to you as a friend. You said Paul. You know, it's reaching the heart of Philemon. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You, therefore, receive him. That is my own heart. And at this point, we have three people that are being introduced to you. I've been introduced to you, Paul. I've been introduced to Philemon. And now we have a third person that is Onesimus. So you have to understand by now, if you don't know this story, that the three of them have some kind of past to get past. And there is something that is about to happen. Well, let me tell you, Onesimus was a slave from Philemon. Yes, in those times, they were allowed to have slaves. And the law of the times declared that if you have a slave and did something against you, you by right were allowed to punish them, even with death. And what happened was Onesimus ran away from Philemon. And somehow, like Jonas, he ran out to the right place to come back. Because he ran and ran and ran, and somehow he found Paul. And he came to Jesus under the direction and instruction of Paul. So now Paul is sending him back with a message. Woo, I don't know about that, Lord. I'm going to get killed over there. But he was obedient, right? So he go back, he bring the message to Philemon, what Paul is trying to tell him. So now you know who is Onesimus, right? So verse 13, who I wish to keep him with me, that in your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing. That your good deed may not be by compulsion, as he were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. You know, there is something is about to happen. He's sending him back because it's a reconciliation that needs to take place. The Bible tells that there is no longer Greek, there's no longer Jewish, there's no longer lords or slaves. We are only one on Jesus Christ. So now Onesimus, the slave that escaped, now he's coming back as a brother. And let me tell you something about the name Onesimus. It means useful. It means useful. And although it was a common name for slaves, there's not many Onesimus in the Bible, right? So now, that's what Paul said, you know, in one time it wasn't useful. He wasn't living according to the calling that was destined for him. Yes, his name was useful, but he was being unprofitable for you. But now he's profitable for both. Why? Because Onesimus is going to be used as well to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then Paul almost in verse 17. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you will me. But if he has wronged you or owe you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you... Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not to mention that you owe me even your own self besides. You know what Paul is telling you, you know? You are being saved because I preach you gospel of God. So you owe me your own self. So if you're going to charge him whatever he owe you, remember that you owe me more because I brought you to Jesus. Amen? Listen, oh my. This was like it was drama. It was comedy. I was crying. I was laughing. And, you know, it was like ups and downs. And there's a suspense, you know. I use for the sake of time, you can't read the whole letter, but at the end, there is something that I want to bring to your attention. There's a few members that are around Paul at that time, right? You can see that Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greet you. As do Mark. I'm going to do my best to pronounce that name, guys. Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And you can see here that, wow, you know, what Paul is trying to do here is bring two people that have a disagreement back into reconciliation, because there is one thing that is uniting, and it's Jesus Christ. You know, the forgiveness is not only this way, but it's this way. It's like Jesus standing on the cross, bringing us together, the body of Christ. And this is what is happening. So Onesimus go to Philemon, and you may wonder how the story ends, because this is an unfinished. And I was like, hey, Lord, you have to tell me more about this. I want to see what happened with Onesimus. Well, it's amazing that if you go to the book of Colossians, you guys don't have it on the back. But if we see in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 8. This is Paul. When he sent the letter to Colossians, he say, I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. And here we go. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. He's no longer a slave. Now he's one of you. You know what? There was a moment that had to be forgiven. So Onesimus now is being a part of the push for the gospel in the region of Asia, because they choose to forgive. You know, some of you have may heard this, but I have a problem forgiving many times. But at these specific times, you know, it was forgiving my father. Some of you sitting tonight here have a great relationship with your father. But by the time that I was born, my father was in no way, nowhere to be around. So I kind of was raised by my grandparents as they were my father and my mom. And every time that I tried to ask my grandma or my grandfather who my father were, they just shut me down. And every time I asked my mom, she started crying. So one day I said, you know what? I don't want to ask this question anymore. There's so much hurt every time that I ask the question of who is my father. And I start growing up, and there's those events at schools. And my grandfather is a hard worker, so he was working long hours. My mom was working, so there was nobody to, you know, like, come and receive a certificate with me. Eventually, I come to the Lord, and sometimes what I did was, like, anybody on the church who I was comfortable with, I asked, hey, do you mind coming to the school? They're going to give me an award, and, you know, I need somebody to be standing there with me. So I was in the Lord, but still in my heart, there was because the suffering that my father left behind, it was hard for me to forgive, that to surrender that area of my life. And one day, you know, every time that I asked, nobody knew, my mom didn't talk. And one day, I was in the youth camp, and, you know, we were worshiping, and we were like, you know, it was a powerful night, and I got called to the front. And the person that was about to pray for me asked me, who is your father? And obviously, it was like right away, I shocked. I couldn't speak a word, but I started crying. And I say after a few seconds, I don't have a father. And he said, you are wrong, because God is telling you he is your father. He is your father. If you are here tonight, you are being in similar situations, I want you to remember, he is your father, and he forgives. He forgives. He don't take anything into account. For that moment on, something changed in my heart. It was like, it wasn't suddenly, but it was like little nuggets and pieces of information that were coming into me. My mama started opening up and telling me this story, which I won't bore you tonight with, maybe another day. And one day, At that point, I was living in the States. One day I woke up and I started calling every single office to see if they knew, if he can find my father. And I called from the east to the west, every office. And nobody said, no, he's not here. He don't live here. He didn't born here. He probably is dead or he just went to another country. And I was about this close to lose hope. And this lady, it was Friday, almost like at the end of the day, and she said, call me on Monday. I'm going to look into this for you. And on Monday when I called, she was very excited. She said, yeah, I tell you, I'm going to call. Yada, 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 yada. I said, what happened? I said, I found your dad. And I was like, please don't say anything. Don't reach out to him. I didn't want to break in your family. I just wanted to meet him. Because at that point, my heart was healed. But I needed to tell him that I forgive him. You know, because sometimes those people, they have done you something wrong. But they feel so bad that they're so sure and afraid to come to you and tell you, no, I'm sorry. So you have to come to them. That's what the Bible says. Go to them. Maybe that's the word. Maybe that's a step that they're going to need for healing, for restoration. So she gave me the information. I end up eventually going down there. And it was funny because as soon as I get to the office, I say, yeah, the whole town know that you're coming. I said, lady, I told you not to say nothing. Ay, ay, ay. So she said, don't worry, I'm going to walk you to the house. And, you know, as I was walking to the house, one thing I promised myself, I won't cry. If I see him, I won't cry. And then I'm walking in that direction. There's three guys coming this direction. And she said, you see, the one in the middle, that's your dad. And I start crying. This person that I didn't know. But it was no longer me. It was God. I know that he sent me there. He gave me the ability to close that circle in my life so I could move forward. And when I saw him, I tell him, I'm William. I'm your son. I come here to tell you that I forgive you. And what you did to me, I won't do to my kids. It was restoration, it was forgiveness, it was healing. I met my two sisters. One is a dentist, the other one is a psychologist. So we went to the dentist's office. She was working in somebody. And when they opened that door, she looked at me and she said, my little brother. And she started crying. Probably that guy is sitting in that chair waiting for somebody to take care of him because she left with me. And she didn't come back. I felt so bad for that guy. He was like, Larry, what's up? But my point is, guys, we have to forgive. It takes courage to do so. And forgiving is not easy. And maybe forgiving now is a bit difficult and you feel like, okay, I can do this. But the next time and the next process is going to be difficult again. It's a process. I would lie if I say to you that every time that I'm in the situation which I find myself asking, hey, I'm sorry. It's easy. But I have to try to do it. Because when you don't forgive, you start getting sick. You start getting the anxiety. And you start seeing like attacks everywhere. You start building fences. And you know what happened when we start building fences? The enemy start getting through the cracks. And we have to be a body that lives in unity. Amen? You know, amen. In one moment, Jesus shows so much. You can see that the night he was betrayed by one of his followers, Judas, when he came, and every time I talk about this, it's like, God, so much compassion coming out of you. Because he didn't call him the betrayer. He called him my friend. Even when he came with the soldiers and he kissed him on the cheek, he's about to be giving into the authorities. Jesus, the word that came out of his mouth is my friend. With a kiss, you are giving me, I'm paraphrasing, but the word is my friend. He didn't call him, how you can betray me? He called him my friend. Even in the cross, being in the cross, he told the woman, this is your son. He forgave the one next to him. He came to preach forgiveness, to give forgiveness. And in that moment in the cross, to model forgiveness. You know, true forgiveness is permanent. False forgiveness is temporary. When we talk about human relationships, true forgiveness should be unconditional. False forgiveness always have conditions. Sign this paper if you want me to forgive you. If you don't, you know, stand in front of the church or do this or do that, your forgiveness is not real. But the Bible tells us that we should go, right? We should talk to the brother and sister. But after that, you have done what the Bible instructs us to do. As Pastor Wallace said, it's their test. If they choose not to, you did the right thing. Not all the time people are going to say, okay, you know, I forgive you. Let's reconcile. But if it's not, you keep praying for them. You keep praying for them. The choice now is on their side. They will choose to forgive, to reconcile. They will choose not to forgive. For that moment, it will be their test. It will be their trial. And they will be giving accounts to God. True forgiveness lets the past be over. False forgiveness keeps the past alive. True forgiveness is inspired by love. 1 Corinthians 13:5 shows us that. That love keeps no record of wrongs. Forgiving others means letting go of resentment and giving up any claim to be compensated for the hurt or loss we have suffered. And forgiving, guys, is not to be confused with no consequences. You know, King David messed up pretty big, but he always came with a repenting heart to God. But when he went to after all those men's women, God, you know, he repented to God, but it was a consequence. There was a baby that didn't make it. There was a son that rebelled against him. There was another son that was a mess. So there's going to be consequences. So why not start right now? Why not start right now? So I want to ask you tonight, if there's anybody here in the house that feel, Lord, I want to break the cycle of unforgiveness in my life. I want that you to restore me. I want that you heal me. I want that you teach me how to forgive others just as I've been forgiven. I want to pray for you. Just fill yourself with courage and come to the front because we want to pray. We have been forgiven. And now is the time to step into the calling that have given us, and we need to forgive others. So the altar is open right now. I want to pray for you. I know that there's some people here that hearts has been broken for so long. You've been trying to forgive even things on your past. So Lord, give him the courage to come to the front. Because I don't want to pray by myself. I want the whole church to come in agreement, Father, as the unit that we are, as the army that we are, Father. And we declare, Father, in the name of Jesus, that every chain is going to be broken tonight, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. So come to the front. Come to the front right now. Thank you, Lord, for these lives. Thank you, Father. You are a good Lord. You are a good Father. Thank you, Lord, for these lives. Church, Start praying where you are right now. Start praying for these brave sisters and brothers that are standing in the front tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Pastor John, Pastor Mike, Pastor Brian, can you guys help me, please? Come on, somebody can give you some praise in the house tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, forgiveness isn't going to be the only thing that you have to do to walk in unity. The enemy is always going to try ways to do so. So you have to stay strong. But the Bible said that two are better than one. So I hope you go home tonight encouraged. I hope that this word I've spoken to your life I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you bless every brother and sister under the sound of my voice, and even those watching online, Father. Let this word come out, Father, because at any point in our life, we all have been Onesimus, Father. We have been a slave to the sin, but you made us free, Father. And you call us sons and daughters in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you all glory, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. You are a good Father. And I ask you that you bless them, Lord. Bless their homes. Bless their family. They're coming and they're going. And as I depart this place, Father, I ask you that your peace go with them every place that they go, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.